Please rise for the reading of the scripture as you are able. And it's Matthew 13, 1 through 9, the parable of the sower. That same day, Jesus went out to the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of the soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30. Let anyone with ears listen." Thanks be to God for his holy word. You may be seated.
Jesus often taught in parables. Parables are stories. They're metaphors. They're analogies. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. There was a man who had two sons. A sower went out to sow. Jesus' audience would have understood so well about sheep and goats and soil and seed, much more than we do today. And within these stories, Jesus tells truths about God and about us and how we are called to live in a world where the kingdom of God is at hand in Christ, and yet we're so often forced to still deal with old kingdoms. Parables speak to us of the real but often hidden ways that God is working in the world and how we're supposed to live. Parables sound really ordinary. And so, as people heard these stories from Jesus, they didn't think they were about God. And so they relaxed their defenses. They walked away perplexed, wondering what Jesus meant. The stories sort of stuck with them in their imagination. And then, like a time bomb, they would explode in their hearts, and they would realize that Jesus was talking about God, that their kingdom of this world had been invaded by this parable. The parable of the sower, I think, is so popular because it has an answer key. Jesus tells us what this parable is about and what it means. Jesus says, "Listen to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed that was sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word at once and receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. And when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown." As Pastor Milena has said, when we're studying a parable, often the first place to look is to see where God is in the parable. And as Milena and the kids told us, God is the sower. People hearing this story would immediately tell you that the sower is a terrible sower, a bad farmer. They would immediately pick up on that. A good sower would only sow in fertile soil because seed is expensive. What a wasteful sower. A good sower would be more careful. Make a chart, get out a ruler. But the God that Jesus describes, this sower, sounds like a God we've met before in the Gospels. Did you hear the one about the shepherd who risked the welfare of his 99 sheep in order to go for the one lost sheep until he found it? Did you hear the one about the man who gives an invitation to a banquet, and when the invited guests refuse to come, he wastes the feast on people he just pulls in off the street? Did you hear the one about the Samaritan, the enemy, who gave what he had to bandage the wounds of the man lying in the ditch? A man that was his enemy. Did you hear the one about the dad who killed the fatted calf and threw a big party for the ne'er-do-well son who had wasted all of his inheritance in a far-off country? Parables. That's our God, this sower. This sower wants fruit. He wants plants. But the way he goes about it makes no sense at all, flinging seed everywhere. The seed is the word. The gospel, the good news of Jesus and his love, and it's apparently for everywhere and everyone, without doing soil analysis first, without doing an in-depth interview, and 3/4 of the time, it comes to nothing. Think ministry is frustrating? 3/4 of the time. Now, when it hits big and in really surprising ways. So, we know where God is in the parable. Jesus tells us a little bit about where we are. Our hearts are like the soil. That's one place that we are. Sometimes thorny, sometimes dry, sometimes fertile. So we're soil. But we're also called to sow seeds as well. Jesus told this parable in part to explain why some people followed him and some people didn't. And so I think it was to encourage the disciples in their sowing ministry. We're called to sow like our sower. Reckless love, radical hospitality, flinging of seed, seeking relationship with all kinds of soil, all kinds of plants, being with people, loving them. We are both sower and soil. We are disciples growing as we grow other disciples. Flinging seed of God's good news of Jesus and his love, and at the same time tending soil beds, making conditions right for seeds to grow in ourselves and in our church. And how do we do that? The spiritual disciplines, the commitments that we make when we join, prayer, worship, service, study, membership in a Christian community, small group. This is the dance of discipleship, the mystery of how we're called not just to think about God and not just to believe things about God, but do something because of this sower that loves us so very much. Love, you know, is faith that's been put to work. Love is faith at work. The song I'm pairing up with this sermon is called Hammer and the Nail by the Indigo Girls. And they put it this way. I got to get out of bed and get a hammer and a nail and learn how to use my hands, not just my head. I think myself into jail. Now I know a refuge never grows from a chin and a hand in a thoughtful pose. Gotta tend the earth if you want a rose. I first heard this song in college, which was a time of intellectual growth for sure, but also a time where I was learning that being a part of being a Christian was responding to God's love by putting faith into action, in giving and in service. I learned how we're not only soil that receives God's love, but we grow into the faith and we bear fruit that blesses others. In college, I went on my first mission trips. I did my first service projects where I was going not just to serve in order to serve, not just to get service hours for school, but I was serving because I was a Christian. In response to what God had done with me, for me, inside me, doing because that's what Jesus calls us to do. And I learned a really important lesson that I think every Christian needs to learn. Before this, I had thought of my life as a series of separate boxes. One box was for my relationships, one box was for my physical self, one box was for my faith and what I was learning in Sunday school, one box was for my intellect, one box was for my good deeds, one box was for my finances, which at the time was a diddly squat, one box was for my hobbies, one box was for all my faults and failures, and all the things that I had done to miss the mark that I put in its own little box. And what I learned, and what I hope every Christian comes to learn, is that a life with God is all one thing. It is all bound together. The golden thread that weaves through all these things is God revealed in Jesus Christ, the sower, who wants our life to hang together, to all be one. That's what it means to have integrity, that it all hangs together. One beautiful garden where God is the loving, reckless sower, the owner of the vineyard of our life. That's what discipleship is. Growing in the faith and learning how it's all one. It all fits together. We're not just here to do the best we can and dissolve into nothingness. We're here for a purpose. We have a sower that has made us in his image and calls us beloved and has given us gifts and this life so that we can learn how to love God more and more and love our neighbor more and more. Learn how we can grow and help others grow and clear the weeds and be connected to Jesus who is the vine and the Father who is the vine grower. It all fits together. Our lives and all the parts of ourselves, beloved and precious, called to God's purpose, forgiven by God's grace. Like a plant, like a garden. The song puts it this way: my life is more than a vision. The sweetest part is acting after making a decision. Started seeing the whole as the sum of its parts. My life is part of the global life. I found myself becoming more immobile when I think a little girl in the world can't do anything. Is the nation my community? And a street person my responsibility? If I have a care in the world, I have a gift to bring. That's discipleship. Having it all fit together. My grandmother had a garden, and she grew flowers with these delicious sounding names, like nasturtiums and snapdragons. And she grew tomato plants that this time of year would produce 100-fold and 60 and 30. Perfect for summer cookouts and sandwiches, white bread, mayonnaise, salt, pepper. She even grew sunflowers, y'all. I know that's not a big deal up here in sunflower country, but in central Georgia, who grew sunflowers? My grandmother did. She showed me how the sunflower would follow the sun and would always point itself to where the sun was coming from. And at night, it was like it went to sleep. It would sort of, it would lay its little sunflower head down and wait for the sun to come up again. I watched her do this dance of work and patience and care and trust. She worked. Don't get me wrong. Sun hat, trowel, watering can. She tried to keep out the deer. She yelled at the dog who took special pleasure in digging in the freshest soil where she had worked the hardest. She worked. And still, there was something about it that was a mystery. Something that God did. She did her part, and that was important, but there was a part that God did in the dark. It was a surprise. Sometimes she would spend hours on a plant that never did diddly squat. And other times, some seed would be carried by nothing but the breeze, and it would bloom up like gangbusters. She would affirm, "You gotta tend the earth if you want a rose. You gotta pray, you gotta read scripture, you gotta do all the things, you know, to grow." But still, the harvest was really in God's hands. My grandmother also had 5 children, a bumper crop by all accounts. And she did the dance of work and patience and care and trust. She made the best environment possible for those little plants. So important. And yet, there was kind of a mystery. It was kind of a surprise, too. She would say, "You got to tend the earth if you want a rose." She would affirm that. But still, something about the harvest was in God's hands, too. My grandmother had a Bible, and it was heavily underlined. And she had a Sunday school class that she loved. It was her small group. They didn't call it small group back then. They called it Sunday school class, and all the Sunday school classes had a name. You know what I mean? The builders, the this and that. That was her small group. And she went to church. She went to that Sunday school every single week. I asked her about it when I was a kid, and she said, "I can't really explain it to you in a way that you're likely to understand. But I will tell you that there are the things that matter in this life. There are things worth knowing in this life, and they can be found there in that Bible, in that church, in that Sunday school class. And you may not see it now at age 8, but there will come a day when you will need the things that they provide. And you may not even know that it's something you need until you come in hungry and they feed you, you know?" One of her favorite scriptures was Galatians 6:9. "Let us not grow weary in well-doing, for we shall," what? "Reap a harvest if we faint not." I think of her trowel, sun visor, Bible, children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. And I can see how she oriented her life toward Jesus, the light of the world, the Lord of the harvest. She pointed her life in that way, like a sunflower. "You got to tend the earth if you want a rose." I think the saints among us would affirm that. The saints in this world and the saints in the next. And the harvest of our life, it's in God's hands. Sowers know what it is to sow. Pastors, teachers, people who love kids, parents, grandparents, anybody that touches the life of a child knows what it is to sow. This mystery, how we sow seeds that we may never see grow. They may not grow at all. 3/4 of the time comes to nothing. But they may grow long after we're gone. Still, we are called to sow our seeds. It's a marathon, not a sprint. And when we are sowers, it is our job to be reckless, inclusive, imprecise, and to be good gardeners of the plots that we can touch, tending the soil, loving plants without condition, giving water, giving sunshine, singing to them, and still knowing that we plant, somebody else may water, but only God gives the growth. Sometimes in cooperation with what we've done, sometimes in spite of it. And the harvest that comes is so often a huge surprise. We tend to gloss over the enormity of the harvest that Jesus talks about. But like to have like a seed that produced twice the amount would be amazing. 5 times, you'd put it on your Instagram. You'd like contact people. The harvest Jesus talks about is 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. And still, making a disciple is not like making a widget or a sandwich. It takes work and commitment, and there's this heaping helping of mystery in it. Like a seed in the dark, like a weed poking through the sidewalk crack, like the dance of love with which we love one another over the long haul. It's weeds and drought, and also abundant, surprising, laugh-out-loud harvests coming when you least expect them. That's what our life together is about. I got to get out of bed and get a hammer and a nail. Learn how to use my hands, not just my head. I think myself into jail. Now I know a refuge never grows from a chin and a hand and a thoughtful pose. Got to tend the earth if you want a rose. Amen.